Hi, good morning from the Esguerra residence in beautiful Arbor City. This is how you say harbor in Spanish. Arbor, because the H is silent.
I don't think that's right.
You are right.
Is it?
But welcome to From A to Z Podcast. I am your beautiful radio-faced host, Ace, and my beautiful wife in real life, Anne. Say hi.
Hi.
And we are the dynamic duo that you call the Esguerras, the Gizguerras.
The Gizguerras.
The Gizguerras. But yes, welcome to our podcast. Our email is from aceisitall@gmail.com. Our Instagram account is
at From A to Z Podcast.
Yay, there's pictures and stuff. That's real. We're real people in the world. And today, our show is the letter, starts with the letter R, or it's the R show. We are, it's really early in the morning. Sorry, guys. It's 10:30 a.m. on March 18th. It's a Saturday. This is uncharted territory for us. We have never podcasted
That's
on
true.
A Saturday.
And in morning, the morning,
there's light out, so I'm actually a vampire, and I don't know what to do with myself, and I'm burning. So,
yep.
With that said, we have our dear friends, the Romeros, Freddie and Maura Romero. Coming in at 147 pounds. Coming from college, I don't even know where, but he plays basketball. Coming in at 5'9"? 5'9".
147. The towboy probably would know.
Coming in at 189 pounds, soaking wet. 5'10", center for the short people of the Philippines. Freddie Romero.
What's going on, guys?
And his beautiful wife, Maura, coming in at 7'5". 110 pounds, soaking
wow,
wet
that is
as
very...
well.
Okay.
And the beautiful counterpart to Freddie, Maura Romero.
Hi.
Anne's looking at me like, what the hell are you doing?
I know, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, so welcome.
It's called winging it.
We are winging it. Just
welcome,
go with it,
Romeros.
Girl. What, do you guys want? Do you guys want some like special intro music to come into like
some Ezra
or a Sweet Caroline?
Aww.
Wait, do you have
every time I hear that song,
I
just think
I
of you guys. So just as a background, I guess Freddie sang that song at their wedding.
Well, didn't he change the word or the name Caroline?
Yeah, because
Yesenia, right?
My middle name.
Yeah. What's your middle name?
Yesenia.
Sweet Yesenia. Ba, ba, ba.
Yep.
Right?
Yes,
I remember
exactly
that.
What he said.
Every single
that.
Time I hear that song, I
it's
think
funny
of you guys.
It's a good because song. Because when you play that song, I was sitting at the table with Sky. I was like, I love this song. Sky's like, what is this? I was like, dude, this is what?
Yep.
And he's just like, y'all and your white, folk.
Did he say, I love this joint?
He
Neil
used
Diamond.
To sing me that song when we were friends.
Aww.
And
there's the background story. Yeah. That's cool.
Okay, so we always want to know the story. Ask. So how did you guys meet? How did your love story begin?
Yeah.
And how are you all? How did you get to where you guys are now?
Take it away, Freddie.
Take it away, Freddie.
Where it began.
Where it began.
No, this is me singing.
Oh, this is Freddie wrote this song.
Freddie Romero.
Sing it, babe.
Sing it, yeah. Come on.
Wasn't the spring. Oh man, I forgot the lyrics.
Oh man.
And spring became the summer.
I'm not gonna sing. So where it began. So I moved to Wilmington, California because my dad got sent as a pastor. I grew up in South LA. And when I was in the 10th grade, mm-hmm. I still didn't have many friends. And one of the people I first met in my history class, my world history class, was Leslie Hernandez now.
Oh, yeah.
And which is Maura's sister. She's my same age. So we became friends. We're more like classmates. But I didn't know Maura existed actually at that point. And they ended up leaving to Indiana because their mom lived over there. And so
their mom lived in India?
Yeah.
Wow, of all places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Home of the Pacers.
Yeah. And So Leslie kept in touch with a lot of her classmates. Uh-huh. I was one of them. And when she came back to Banning High School where I went to school, and she introduced me to her sister. And yeah, so we didn't connect or anything then at all, because Mata was like...
And what year was this? Like 1975 or?
Yeah. Back in the day. Mata was in the ninth grade, I think, and I was a senior.
Hey, no, you guys are 3 years apart too. Wait, we're three years apart, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. Okay,
and then?
So I graduated high school. I don't know, but this was, I know that MySpace had a lot to do with our relationship.
Yeah.
So,
that's so funny.
So yeah, once I'm out of, even when I moved to Georgia, even we would keep our friendship alive through MySpace.
You lived in Georgia for a while?
Yeah.
For how long? Like a year, right?
No, I lived for a year and a half. Because I always came home for the summer and the winter.
For what?
What's I avoided the humidity.
Nice.
Yeah, I avoided the humidity and the freezing cold. So, but we kept in touch. Mata actually went to visit me once.
Yeah. Were you guys dating
another,
at this point?
That's or? Another story. No. But this was about the time where Mata started like eyeing me.
She started liking you more, right?
Shit. Yeah. That's what he likes to think. But
I don't believe you.
So
wait. So, but did you start eyeing him before that or after?
It was actually, it started there, and it wasn't even like,
I believe her.
I didn't think it would. I don't know.
So you just, I didn't, you see just kind of like him.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I kind of knew, like, I never wanted to meet any of, like, Mata's boyfriends or anything. And it was crazy because we would always give each other advice and stuff, you know, and for relationship advice.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, Mata came over because she was going through a rough patch.
Yeah, so he actually, I had gone through, like, a really bad breakup. And he was my best friend, so he knew about it. And he knew how much it, like, had affected me. And so he sent me, the following week after, like, telling him everything that happened, he sent me... a ticket to fly out to Atlanta during my spring break, and I asked my parents, and my parents trusted him. They love him. It was like family, so I went to visit him. I know.
Yeah, she started eyeing me then.
Back to that.
Please. After that plane ticket.
After that plane ticket, right? No, yeah, but then she's like, so that summer, I just think, like, I felt super hard for her that summer, and I think she's just, like, tried to friend zone me still.
Dang. Yeah,
but I wasn't gonna have it.
We all know that feeling, right?
Yeah. Did Anne friend zone you?
No. I friend zoned her, actually.
Yeah, right. Okay.
She's all trying to get at me. She's like, "Hey, honey dip, you fine?" I was like, I'm too good.
Exact words.
I'm like at the top upper echelon type stuff.
Okay.
I'm top shelf. You gotta.
And you gotta work your way up there. We're gonna go back to the Romero story.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
So, no, she tried to. You know, she just. I don't know. A combination of just being scared. And a combination of, you know, never being with someone like me, I guess. Because I'm completely opposite from anyone she's ever been with. Everyone.
Yes, that's very true.
In what regards?
So, like, I would say the same. I would echo what you just said. You know, not super arrogant, but they were inferior.
Yeah. Yeah. They were definitely inferior. Absolutely. There's a reason why you ended up with him and not those squibs.
Yes.
And, but, you know, she was, like, kind of scared and stuff because we had been friends for, like, over 4 years, 5 years, I think.
Yeah, and I had a lot of friends telling me, like, hey, you know, if you go out with this guy and it doesn't work out, you're losing your best friend. So there was, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
a big risk. Like, if it doesn't work out, like, can we still be friends? And so...
But the reward
outweighed
the risks.
Yeah.
And now you guys are married, right? Legally?
Yes.
Or...
Legally.
In the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. And in the eyes of the government.
Hey, that's how Mata says it.
That's how I say it.
That's like how Madea says it.
Who?
The Lord. Madea. Tyler Perry's Madea?
I don't know.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. The Lord. Oh.
Really? Look at those Harbor City effects.
Harbor City sound effects for free, guys. We don't have to pay for
nothing.
These.
Sorry.
So continue with the story.
How did you actually like ask her?
Story.
Or like how did that happen?
That's a good question. Do you want to do this or do you want me to tell her?
Take it away.
Take it away, Freddie.
So,
just keep going.
It's all on you.
No,
baby.
I think we just, like, that summer I started falling harder for her, and I lost sound. Oh. And, yeah, I think it's just. But anyway, I started falling hard for her, and then one day I went to go see my best friend, JC, and his band. I went to go see them play.
Uh-huh.
And I invited Mata over for a benefit show, and we were there. And
he complimented me. We had been friends for a really long time. And he never, the reason why I liked hanging out with him was because he never made me feel like he was trying to get at me. When you're a girl and, you know, you hang out with guys, like, you know if they want to be with you or not. And so,
'cause he's a gentleman, that's why.
Yes. Right. And so he never told me that I was pretty. He never made me feel uncomfortable. It was always just, you know, I don't know. It was fun. And so he told me I looked pretty that day. And I remember I was looking at what I was wearing. I was like, what's pretty about me? You always look at me. And, you know, I didn't know why he was saying that. And that was like the first time for me. And so that day, I remember, so my cousin had actually had a dream a few years before this day. And she told me that she had a dream about me getting married to the guy that that would always show up at my house with a guitar. And so that was Freddie.
For guitar lessons, guys, not.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't serenading.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
And yeah, she said, I had a dream that you married. Bye. You married that guy that always comes. She didn't even know his name. And then he was a pastor and you guys got married. And I was like, yeah, right.
Hey, you're a pastor
now? That would never. Yeah.
But he's a pastor now, guys.
And so I was in. Yeah. And so I remember just like shutting it down immediately. I was like, that would never happen. He's not my type. He is not. Like, that's what I thought then. And I was in another relationship, you know? So I just didn't,
you
know.
One of them squares. Squibs.
Thank you, Ace.
Name them so we can find them.
No. Heck no. You don't want to find these people. Anyway. And so,
it's named like Hector. Hector. Yes, that is one of his names, huh?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to find you, Hector. All the Hectors, show up.
So y'all can all go, of them.
All of them, show up. So I can punch every single
yeah,
one of you.
Yeah, because I dated so many. Oh, my gosh.
I'm down to get one of them right. Yeah. There's a million Hectors in the world. As long as I get to punch one of them.
Yes, keep looking for Hector.
Yeah, I bet you a bunch of other Hectors are like gang members. Are like, you punch me, you die. It's like, I'll take that risk.
Hector's the guy that's in all the Fast and the Furious movies.
Basically, yeah, he's just like, hey, what's up, fool? Hey, your girl can hit hard, dude. Like, all right, he's the same guy. He's one with the bald guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With the
he's goatee. The cholo. Yeah.
Yeah, he's always every movie he's in. Yeah. He's just a cholo. But continue. Forget you, Hector.
Yeah. So. So when he told me that, when she told me that, that just stuck with me. I always remembered that dream and I would always shake it off whenever it would come to mind when I was around him because, you know, I just didn't see him that way. And so that day when he complimented me at that show, I just thought to myself, like, what if, you know, he did like me? And then I started telling myself or just thinking about it like, nah, he's never given you any signs, you know, he doesn't like you. And I didn't like him either, so I didn't even know why I was thinking about it. And so he was doing something in the front, and I went inside of the building. It was a church, actually. And so I sat in the back because I didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. And I remember just thinking to myself, like, okay, if he kisses me on the top of my head, because Freddie doesn't kiss me. Like, when we were friends, he didn't kiss me.
Yeah.
So he wasn't, like, touchy or anything. So I said, if he kisses me on top of my head, he likes me. And then I shook that off and I was like, that's so stupid. Like, why am I? I'm like a little girl thinking about this, you know? And so I like shook that off. I want to go sit in the front of the church and to watch the show. And then Freddie comes out of nowhere and he kisses me on top of my head. And I was like, yeah, I looked at him like shocked, like, what the heck? And I was like, no, that's really stupid. He doesn't like me. And why am I thinking about this? And so I shook it off and he just kept going because he had no idea I was thinking that. And so the show was over and he had invited me to go out with him. And I remember I was on my way to try to mend the broken relationship I was in, and I was going to get back with that guy. And so Freddie had like you know, invited me to go somewhere, and I told him no, but he's like, well, and he all of a sudden got really nervous, and then he started telling me a bunch of things. I don't remember. The only thing I remember him saying is, if you give me the chance, I'll love you like nobody's business. And I just smiled. He said, and then he immediately just told me, like, hey, you don't have to say anything at all right now. We can talk later. And so I just got in my car and I left. And
bye.
Dang.
What the heck?
I didn't tell him anything. I didn't know what to tell him. He was my best friend, you know? And so
Secret lovers.
And so after that, we went out on a date. We went out on a date, and then we were inseparable after that.
Was that a weird transition from going from best friends to a relationship?
To Smash Buddies?
You mean like Smash Bros on
like Smash Bros on Nintendo. Yeah, Nintendo 64. Super Smash Bros.
That's a great question, awkward. Ann. Yeah.
I don't think it was. It just came really
naturally.
It was super natural. Cool. It felt natural, so it was weird. I was like, why isn't this weird? I expected it to be weird, but it wasn't. So
that's when you know.
Freddy is I think your nickname now is going to be the Natural. Freddy the Natural Romero.
Yeah, it felt really smooth. And that's a great question. I don't think it was awkward. I think it was more awkward for our friends.
Yeah,
I think it was more awkward maybe for Leslie a little bit because
you were friends with Leslie first.
And we weren't sister. Like close, you know what I mean? But at that point, I think I was closer even before I got with Mauda. I was way closer to Mauda anyway than I was to Leslie. But I just think it was just awkward for everyone, you know. And it was awkward
because everyone's used to you guys being a certain way, and then all of a sudden you guys kind of your dynamic changed, or you guys became
absolutely. Like so I never met any of my exes, her exes, and she never met any of mine. I think
I did.
I hope
you. Yeah, so, you invited me. He was like
so. You know, every time I came around, she just came around with my friends and all my guy friends, and all my guy friends liked her already. You know, like they were like, yeah, she's pretty cool. She's quiet. You know, they'd call her the assassin or something.
The silent assassin.
Every time she'd come in, she'd put her hoodie on, no matter how hot it was.
And why?
She put her hoodie because she's just an introvert. I mean, she used to be, you know. And so,
I was a lot more then.
She wouldn't have agreed to do a podcast then, you know.
Mm-hmm. I would have made you do it.
So
trust me.
But I'll
bribe you.
The transition wasn't so weird, and I like for some people it might be. And that was the weirdest thing. But I even told her that, you know, that night. I remember I told her, hey, you know, I know this is going to be weird, you know, but I don't think it's going to, you know, it might be weird, but it's not. And I honestly just, like, don't want to be friends anymore. I want to be way more than that. And so it's just like, you can give this a chance, but I'm not going to pressure you either. I had no idea she was going to go try to mend this relationship either. Also, I would have just locked it in there.
Dang.
I would have just closed it, you know? I would have been like, give me your keys.
Give me your keys. We're together now.
You know, but...
I'm the captain now.
Should have done that, baby.
And,
that would be so funny. Freddie's like, give me your keys. You're mine. Bye.
And
tell him you're not going.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell him he's dead to you.
Oh my God. I should have.
And so, but it was weird because after that, the dynamic was weird because now, whenever I dealt this as a friend, I knew a lot of Mauda's sensitivities, her fears, her vulnerabilities, and now all of a sudden, because she had exposed all those things to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, you know, when you date someone, you usually put your best foot forward. I know you guys have talked about this on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You put your best foot forward because you're courting them. Well, with Mauda and I, we really didn't do that because we had already known each other for so many years. And I had seen Mauda cry. I had seen her get hurt. I had seen all these things. And even when, you know, things were going bad at home and it was, you know, some of the time she was responsible for those things. You know, relationship with her sister, she was responsible for some of those things. So we didn't have that, you know, kind of like buffer period. Mm-hmm. So now that was just a difference. The difference was, you know, we this is who we were. So when we chose each other,
It was like straight full surrender at that point.
Yeah.
You guys already knew.
Yeah. That's cool. And now, like, now instead of me giving her advice, I just, like, I can't do that anymore. And even now until marriage, mm-hmm. That's one thing that I still have to work on. Being like, when we have a conversation, I need to just listen to you, mm-hmm. as opposed to try to give you advice. Because I mean, I was always her like, oh, you're older than me, and just give me advice, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And she'd always come for me for advice. Now it's like, when she comes at me and tells me something,
she comes at you now. She doesn't come to you like, I need help. No, you are gonna fix this right now.
So but I think that was just the only thing that was, you know.
Okay.
A little different.
And now you guys have been married for what, almost 2 years, right?
3 years.
3 years.
Oh, 3 years.
Holy moly, you guys have been married way too long. That's a long time, guys.
Time
that's
flies.
Too
long.
Yeah.
I know, huh, babe?
Yep.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Heard that on the TV or somewhere. Radio. Time flies when you're having fun.
I think it's on a Hallmark card that I got once.
Time Flies When You're Having Fun.
Yeah.
They actually sold that.
There was birds on the front.
They made a profit off of that slogan.
Yeah.
Well,
what a bastard.
There are people whose jobs it is to write these sayings. Too.
Love is real. Love is kind. It's awesome. Except you suck. I can write like the really bad, like the really, off as nice. I
would probably, humor one?
Yeah.
Yeah, the humorous ones.
Yeah.
Love is so cool that I don't even need to see you anymore.
Wow.
We're over. Oh. man, I just like making people feel bad.
Okay, that's not nice. Anyway, all right, so we can.
Yeah, Hector.
So now that we know your guys' background, we can get, we can start talking about our topics.
Yes.
Right? Are you done, Ace? Are you done messing around? Oh my gosh. This is like 20 minutes of our podcast is Ace messing around.
Because I just like having fun. There's got someone in the relationship, ding, 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 relationship has to be...
But I'm the funny one. Everyone knows
First of all, you need to eat your words. Everyone knows I'm... Like I said...
He gets so mad.
Hey guys, so how about you go on the Instagram and let us know who you think is funnier?
No, don't go on Instagram because no contest.
Ace is really
scared. Fine, okay, you know, get on Instagram. You know what? Call me on my personal cell phone.
His number is.
And tell him how. You can call my direct line
at 310-42.
No,
guys, this has to be a public competition.
On Facebook. Okay, let's get into our topics.
Yeah, all right. So the first one, since you guys have already kind of started along this train of thought, is romance in marriage.
Romance.
So how is that displayed, or how do you keep romance alive in your marriage?
Take it away, Freddie.
Jeez Louise, Freddie, you're Maura working double time today. Maura is just
a commentator to Freddie's responses.
She's a fact checker.
Take it away.
So one of the first things we did, this our story's a little crazy, but. when she was coming back from Atlanta, it's ridiculous how many twists and turns there are in this story. But when she was coming back from Atlanta, she had it like, you know, she was coming, she came to Atlanta because she had a rough patch with whoever she was with at the time, Hector. on her, you know, that last day, I don't know what was going on. And she was struggling with feelings because, you know, she didn't mention this, but. I was like, and thank you for breakfast this morning, by the way.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Where are we? Where am I?
But the last, like, the second to last day, or the other day she was leaving, I was making breakfast, and she came downstairs.
Yeah.
And she told me, like, months after we got together, but she said that that morning, she saw me cooking breakfast, for, like, a moment, she said, man, it would be really awesome if this was the future. And I was actually
married.
If this
was my home, yeah, if that was my husband and he was making me breakfast.
You said this out loud?
Like, I literally, huh?
You said this out loud?
No, I thought to myself.
Oh, I was
just saying. She thought it so loud, I heard it. You know?
Wow, your brain is just resonating sound.
So, but, you know, like, so on the plane trip, she was coming back to Los Angeles. She sat next to this guy who, out of all things, is a life insurance agent.
Of course.
And they were just talking about things, and he's Christian, and he does missions, and he was with his wife and his two kids, right? Mm-hmm. And they were talking and stuff, and then I don't know how it came about, but they just talked, they prayed over her,
yeah.
And then they, like, a couple weeks later, the wife of that gentleman sent Maura a letter, and he said, "Hey, I think you need to." Not be with Hector.
Yeah. Right, he straight up told me not to be with that guy. And he said, I think you should. And I didn't tell him that I had any feelings for Freddie, but he said, I think you should, just fix your relationship with Freddie, because I was such a jerk when I went over there, because I was, like, so broken, whatever. I wasn't really myself around Freddie, and Freddie had, like, bought me a ticket, you know, to be out there with him to make me feel better. And I just wanted to, you know, sulk and stuff. And
this was, like, months before we had that conversation. Like, hey, you know, I like you. So anyway, one of the things they gave us was Gary Chapman's. So for our wedding, one of the things they gave us was Gary Chapman's
Five Love Languages.
Did they go to your wedding?
They did.
Oh,
okay. We invited them to our wedding.
Yeah. That's so cool. He would always check up on me. So he actually helped me reconcile, my relationship with the Lord and on the plane. Because I wasn't really going to church.
Awesome. Yeah.
He was just my friend, you know, but I didn't meet him at church or anything. And
okay.
So.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Dude, the people you meet in the most random
places. God is amazing.
He sent me a Bible and everything. He sent me a list of churches that he approved I should attend, and it was crazy.
Dang.
But yeah, he came to our wedding and he gave us that book.
And he lives here or
there? In like the OC area.
Oh, okay. So he's
yeah, but I had never met him until, you know, our wedding day.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So like, I had to thank them because I'm like, it's because of you that Mauro actually entertained being with me before I ever even said
that's
anything.
Amazing.
And before that, like Mauro said, she had no relationship with God. So I'd only known Mauro as like a very innocent high schooler. And then after that, like the training wheels came off and she was not innocent at all. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, just, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd. And Hector, you know? And
damn, all the Hectors.
Dear Hector. Damn you, Hector.
So that, you know, so I had to thank him. And but one of the things we did, we took that test, that Gary Chapman book or whatever, and we discovered what our love languages are. Mm-hmm. And come to think of it, you know, that's one of the things we had to, like, figure out how to, like, be romantic with one another. And so for Mauro's love languages, she loves quality time and gifts. She likes it when I get her stuff. So,
dang.
So
it could be a tea.
You know, yeah, it could be
like just anything, right?
You get me something.
Or it could just be your loving.
That, yes.
Who was that?
Huh? No, that's just my
Puss in Boots.
No, that's
Antonio Banderas.
Kind of.
I thought that was Pepe Le Pew. No.
Pepe Le Pew is French, though.
Wee 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 ho ho ho.
Kind of son.
That's Lumiere.
Let me love you.
It does kind of like Antonio Banderas.
And so now I think that, you know, the way I try to keep that romance alive is definitely thinking about her and getting her stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. Not because she's material. Like she said, it could be a tea. It could be anything as long as it's something that she likes.
A high five.
And then just being present in the moment. And I think that sometimes that's difficult for me. And then last but not least is just making her look good in public. You know, I love... because Maud is not the kind of person that will ever boast.
Yeah.
Maud is not the kind of person that will post like jewelry or like, you know, if she gets something or, you know, if she goes somewhere, like she's not the kind of person to say, you know, XYZ is better than yours.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
You know, and she's not the kind of person. Maud will go on trips and come back and no one will ever know because she's just not like that.
But I like to see your pictures from your trips so I can, you know, be a little jealous and be like, oh my gosh, I wish I could have went there. Well, thanks for opening my eyes to a new part of the world.
Stop. For every one place we go, you guys go to 10.
I know.
It's not like it's
like,
okay.
I love it when you guys go like on extended trips too, because it's then you're posting pictures of all the restaurants you go to.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like making note of them. Like,
hey, okay, this is not about us. This is about you right now. Hey, Mr. Hey, thanks for breakfast,
awesome,
by the way.
You can learn from each other's trips.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
Yeah. See?
Absolutely.
Wait, so how do you guys keep the romance alive?
Well, yeah, just yesterday, Ace gets into these playful moods where he's just like a little kid. So that, I think laughter and like being silly is definitely part of us being romantic.
And then it borders like her getting annoyed. So like last night, I don't know what came over me, but I just wanted to just mess around with her. So she's trying to take a shower.
Ugh.
And she didn't leave she kept the door unlocked. So
because I mean, it's like, it's my sister and my husband, like I either one of these people can walk in and like I'll be fine if they need something in the bathroom. So I
was like, hey, I should just get a bunch of cold water and pour it on her. So I tried doing it, but I mean, the shower is glass, so you can't really, I mean, you can see everything, so she can see me opening the
door. But he also verbally told me that's what he was trying to do. So I'm like, okay, that's not cool.
So I keep trying to go in, and she's just like, she pulls out like the shower head. She's like, oh yeah, you want to play that game? Like, she's going to spray me. And I'm like, okay, that really scares me. But my thought, I'm like, just don't get the floors wet. So it gets to the point where she jumps out of the shower and chases me around the house. She's like, she's all wet. So then I'm walking back. I'm like, no, don't wet me. And I'm walking back like, the floors are all wet. So then when she got out of the shower, she was still trying to mess. I was still trying to mess with you.
Like,
right?
I locked the doors and everything, but he would unlock the doors and try to get through. Yeah, it was I feel like it's cute. Like silly for a good, you know, like 50% of the way there, and then after I'm like,
no,
I just want to sleep.
It's 100% enjoyment for me only. I just like I'm just such a prankster. That's why. That's all. I think that's how we keep our romance alive. We just kind of
mess with each other.
Yeah, we mess with each other.
I also love scaring him.
That's like I hate that. Like I had to deal with that growing up with my brother, who would be hiding behind my door in my room, and I'll walk in, he just goes hi, and I'll just jump and like what. You need to get out of my room. I'll beat you up. She does the same exact crap to me, too.
Ace freezes. Like, he, like, just freezes. He doesn't really punch or anything, thankfully.
So. Yeah, I'm going to start.
Don't scare me.
I'm going to start. I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
So, there was a point in my life where every time an elevator opened, regardless of there was people in there, I would just kick inside of it. Like, I would just turn in the corner where you push the buttons. What's and wrong just kick with there. You? One time I almost kicked a guy in the face, so I had to stop doing it. Yes,
yeah,
so.
Definitely.
Because you never know what kind of crazy people come in the elevator and stab you.
Yeah, but maybe right? if you come in kicking, that would put
Well, maybe they
on
shouldn't be
alert.
In the elevator trying to attack me or think about it.
Okay, anyway. But yeah.
You got to think ahead.
Besides that, I think it's just the little things around the house.
Yeah. Date nights.
We like to keep date nights alive as much as possible. And then, you know, like, I share my love to everyone, I think, by cooking. So that's like my thing. So when I cook for him,
and I share my love to everyone by just
eating the food.
Eating
the food. No, trying to make everybody laugh. I think that's my goal in life. If I can make you laugh once,
that's
about
good.
Anything, that's it. Then I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody loves you.
Nah, not everybody. And that's one of those things that I don't care if you don't like me. All right. That's how we keep romance alive.
Yeah. Speaking of which, our second one is actually reputation.
Reputation.
How important is it? I guess how important is it for you guys to have a specific kind of reputation among your circle of friends and outside of that circle, and like I guess as a couple
in terms
and
of your marriage,
individual?
I guess. Yeah,
that's a great question.
Take it away, Mara.
You must answer the question. No.
I would say this, and I think you can chime in right here, because, so for me as individually, I'll answer the individual one first. Mm-hmm. For Mauda, she doesn't really care.
I don't.
My kind of people, right?
And,
there.
And for me, I do care. I am an extrovert, and because when you're trying to platform yourself as a business, mm-hmm. It does matter. But one of the things that I started to realize was that, so I care a lot about my reputation, but I want my reputation to be one that's real. Uh-huh. And, so I never manufacture anything. I remember one of the times when I started to, do leadership coaching, I was speaking more and more, a marketing guy told me once, hey dude, since you live in, I was living in a really nice neighborhood a couple years ago. And he was like, since you
told you to take pictures in front of cars and stuff.
Yeah.
You tell me that.
I told you this. This guy was like, hey, just borrow like all these like exotic cars and just take pictures in front of them and take pictures in front of these mansions and just say like, hey, you know, just like write all these success quotes under your pictures and then people are going to follow you because you're going to
fake it till you make it.
Yeah. They were like, fake it till you make it. And, you know, people are going to like follow you and they're going to hire you and they're going to invite you to speak and they're going to hire you as a coach because they're going to be like, I want that, you know,
that
Maserati.
He has a Mustang and a Maserati. He can go both ways, simple and complex.
But I only see him in a Corolla.
And I was
so.
Like, dang, but he's so humble that he only takes out his Corolla. Oh my God. This guy is it, right?
He doesn't want to make any one of us feel bad.
He doesn't want anyone to feel bad because he's so successful. He has to level himself with the regular people, with the peasants of the world.
And
that's hilarious.
Yeah, he said that. He was like just saying that. And he's like, dude, trust me. He's like, I give this advice to so many people and they start making money like quick.
Yeah.
Because people are easily gullible on social media. And I was
that
like,
that sucks.
Yeah.
No. That's really like shady. That's like shady business tactics right there. Because like you're not. What are you paying for? Are you paying for the image or are you paying for like what it can actually give to you, right?
Right, mm-hmm. right. And then I told a coach of mine that and he's like, dude, just do the exact opposite. Document yourself, your journey on the way up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One day you'll have those things if that's what you want to achieve. One day you'll have those things. So document on the way up and people will value you more mm-hmm. and they will love you more.
Yeah, which is something I've like always told him too, like, when you see a transformational picture, you don't want to see, like, somebody ripped, you know, giving you, like, mm-hmm. you want to see, you know, where they started.
Yeah.
That they're, you mm-hmm. know, like, that's, it gives you hope. It gives people like a sense of hope and stuff. Right. So
it's kind of like Jared from Subway, because I mean, you look at his pictures. He used to be really big, and then yeah, now he's skinny.
It gives so much credibility to the brand,
right? Right. And, but he also is in jail now. So, but I mean, let's we can leave that. We can leave that note out there.
He can be back.
But, our reputation for together, I think that this is one of the things that we learned on accident, is that, like I said, it does matter. Our reputation does matter, but I want it to be one on realness. And when we used to hang out with our friends who were yet to get married, our friends who just gotten married, our friends who've been in long-term relationships, and we tell them exactly how, like when we got married, one of the things that was just, we didn't really do when we were together or when friends are the way we fight, the level of our arguments went like through the roof.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can see that.
Everything that I liked about Maura before I got married, I loved. Once I married her, I loved them. But everything I disliked about her, I ended up hating
more, right?
Hating, like, yeah, you know, and yeah, the same for her. Mm-hmm. And it was just weird. And so we would have these conversations, and we tell people, like, even before we got married, we went to premarital counseling, went to counseling for a couple of times. And people would just look at us and be like, wait, you guys went to counseling? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, like we did. And actually we still go.
I think
it was Gina actually that said that marriage magnifies everything. Mm-hmm. So the good will be great and the bad will be worse. Mm-hmm. So I mean that
we kind of, exactly, yeah, we took the same approach. We had premarital counseling. I think it's important for you to, the word counseling sounds so negative to a lot of people.
Yeah.
It sounds so official. I think it's
just the American culture that kind of bastardized it a little bit. Kind of like counseling is actually for the broken people, mm-hmm, which is kind of true, but it's also for people that want to get better too. Yeah. You know, it's not always a bad thing.
I think we started with that. We started because we were broken.
Yes.
Maura started because she was broken.
You guys are so perfect, though. You guys look so perfect.
No, together. No, right. In fact, like, we need to schedule another one soon. Like, you know, and it's like, it's not like marital problems. I'm unhappy.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I definitely do feel like I need a tune up. You know, and thing is, who I married then, I'm getting better every single day. I feel like as a person, and so is Maura. And there are things about me that may not be getting better. And so the person that you married, I feel, or the person that you fell in love with, you're evolving as a person. If not, you're going to get bored.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to get bored of each other if we're not evolving. If we're not learning new things, if we don't have new experiences, new passions, new interests, et cetera, et cetera. And so the person that, you know, we went to counseling 2 years ago or whatever, you know, we've been more than that. But, you know, that Freddie that she married 3 years ago is a different Freddie. Same, but different, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Because you have to grow together, obviously.
Right.
You have to learn to love the new things that are happening in each other's lives. Yeah.
And she wouldn't want to be married to the Freddie of back then, because that's not what she needs now, right?
Absolutely, because she's different. You're 100% right. Yeah. And when we share that with our friends, because there's a stigma to that, like you and Ace were just talking about, there's a stigma to going to counseling. There's a stigma to doing premarital marriage. It's like, oh, if we do that, that means we're already expecting to get divorced, or we're calling for problems. So let's just keep all our problems under the rug.
Nope.
You know? And it's like, no, it's just better to put them on the table. And if we're not adult enough, and honestly, I can't be an adult sometimes, if we are not mature enough to just put them on the table without being offended, let's go to a counselor who, you know, can mediate, you know, and not necessarily to debate in front of her, but just to, like, figure it out. Because when we go, it's not necessarily, like, Maura against me and me against Maura, and, like, let's let her decide who's right. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really just want my wife to love me. Because if she loves me, I'm, you know, she's happy. And when she's happy, I'm happy. And I just want to be happy, you know, so it's, like, selfish too, you know.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, it is selfish.
Goes. It's very true.
You know? So,
but I think what's more important is happy husband, more better.
Yes, that's actually more important.
And I think that's
kidding.
You know, your friends, I know you guys have been that way too, you know, and I think people get inspired by that because they see our pictures or they see us and they say, wow, it looks like you guys are, you know, are always having fun, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, no, this takes work.
Yeah, exactly.
It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. Like, I know you guys do date night and you guys are intentional about that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's things that we do in our relationship that are super intentional. And that takes time, commitment. Mm-hmm. You need to invest.
Right.
You know, you guys go on these trips. You're not going on all these trips for free. Mm-hmm. You're investing in them. You know what I mean? And you guys are creating memories. Mm-hmm. So there's something that people aren't willing to do.
Right.
So I think that that's the basis. Like, reputation is important, but I think that the most important thing is that it's real.
Real. Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, I say ding, ding, ding after all the R words that...
Freddie's looking at you like...
Oh, like, I'm like, what did I win?
Ding, 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 you win a high five. Anything else you want to add about reputation?
No, I mean, I think that's right on the money there where, you know, people... It sucks when people project such a perfect facade, but then if you really get to know that person, it's like, oh wow, you're really not that great, or you know, there's mm-hmm. a lot going on there that you're not telling people, you know, because I think eventually all that stuff will catch up to you one way or another.
And we're really open, like we love, like what Freddie said, we want to be real with people. Obviously, we're not going to put all our stuff like out for everybody to see, to be, you know, to be authentic and stuff. But if people like people close to us, people that, you know, just that we're able to talk to, we can open up to them, you know, and then they can see, you know, we're more than these pictures or more than, you know, the words that you put. Like, we need help.
I mean, you know, every couple does.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're out there listening and you don't think so, probably think again.
Yeah.
Because it does take a lot of work.
Yep.
Because, definitely. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I had something and it just disappeared because I looked up.
All right. Well, so the next...
Ding, ding, ding. I didn't even say an R word. Dang it.
All right.
I'm losing it, guys.
Okay, guys.
Oh, podcasting is over.
Loopy today. So the next word is rest.
And on the seventh day, it's been said that God rested.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, so...
I think Freddie's looking at me because I'm the queen of resting. I know how to rest.
I think...
That's good, though.
I think that is an art form, though. Like, a lot of people, especially if you're just trying to accomplish something...
An art form?
Well, okay, maybe not an art, but like
it's really hard for some people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I have a hard time resting.
I have a hard time resting.
I know a lot of people that have a hard time resting. I don't have a hard time.
I have a good resting heartbeat.
Just don't. Freddie has a hard time. No,
Freddie is always on Instagram stories. Hey hustlers, hey faith hustlers, at the gym. So I'm at the gym, guys. I pump some iron. Just so you know, it's real. The gym.
No, it's super.
I'm going to do a parody of your stuff one of these days.
Go ahead.
You should.
Yo, what's up? This is Coach Ace. I'm at the gym.
I do it. I took a picture of his face the other day, and you know how Snapchat can put somebody's face on your face?
Oh, yeah.
So I was like,
I took his face.
Yeah, I took his face and I started doing things that he does on his stories.
Hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, this is Coach Freddy. I'm just going to do voiceovers for you. This is Coach Freddy telling you to don't drink and drive. Yeah. PSAs by Freddy. Dude, I'll write the one-liners
for you. PSAs by Freddy.
PSAs by Freddy. Dude, you can make a lot of money doing...
No, I don't have a good voice.
Yeah, I think you have a great
voice. I was told I didn't. I'm just kidding.
Who told you that?
This is Hector.
I'm going to slap him.
Yeah.
Man, this Hector guy is really everywhere. Something.
Yeah. We're talking about the same Hector? We're talking about another Hector. I'm about to put another Hector on the... Ooh. Let's fight him.
Just line him up.
Line him up.
No, all the Hectors.
Show up to my wife's work.
Oh, what?
Why?
I'll inject you with a needle or something.
Okay.
For rest. I used to have a hard time shutting off until I went on my honeymoon.
Where did you guys go for your honeymoon?
Went to Mexico.
Ooh, what part of Mexico?
We went to Puerto Vallarta. We went to Cabo San Lucas.
Cabo San Lucas. That's so sexy.
Sexy. Yeah, it was so much fun. But I realized just so as soon as I got there, the first thing I wanted to do was make sure that, you know, I have any emails. Like, Mauro was like, all right. So I was like, babe, I just need to like just make sure because we're gonna be gone for like a week, and just, you know, she just can't shut it off, huh? She just gave me this look, and I was like, yeah, you know what? We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah,
I've been waiting for this moment
for all my life.
Oh Lord.
Okay. So rest. So you had a hard time.
Yeah, and but a lot of people they want rest from what they, because they're exhausted, And really, I think that the key is to rest so that you can work. You know what I mean? So rather than rest because you're exhausted, like rest because you're tired, you need to rest so you're able to work, so you're able to function.
It's like when you work out, right? You need to, you work out so much, but you have to rest in order for your body to repair itself.
To recuperate, and, right?
Recuperate. Ding, ding, ding. Damn, that's a big word.
So
biggest word we've ever used.
It's the same thing. And I just talked to a pastor last year. And he said, hey, listen, me and my family, we take two big vacations a year. And he's like, when we vacation hard.
Go hard in the
paint.
And
I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. He's like, what does that mean? And he's like, that means that from the moment that I get dropped off, no more emails, no more text messages, no more anything. Even if something, like there was an emergency with my like staff or something, call someone else. Because he's like, we're on vacation. And
oh, what?
Yeah, like he disconnects completely because that allows him to be fueled up enough to give his church for the next 6 months 100%.
Basically reset.
100% of the time.
Yeah, you're not good to anybody if you're always tired. And I have a friend who keeps me accountable, even though I said I don't have a hard time resting. You know, sometimes, you know, you do get caught up in everything going on. Like, there's always something going on. And it's really important that you're well-rested so that you can serve people, so that you can be there for your family, your friends, your church, your job.
Yeah.
Right.
Super important.
Yeah. So. I think that that's definitely some... This is an area that I struggle in because I make lists in my mind and physical lists also. And so I come home from work and the first thing I want to do is knock things off that list. And so I come home and in my head, it's like, okay, I need to be super intentional with how I spend every minute until I go to bed, kind of thing. And so what ends up happening is, you know, I'm like, go, go, go. And then it comes to a point where, like you said, you are exhausted. And so then instead of me being rested or taking some time to rest every day, for example, and then being productive while I'm resting, it's just kind of a point where I'm just like just resting and not being good at it, you know? And it's just like I'm exhausted and I come out of it and I'm not rested still,
yeah,
kind of thing. So I think it, yeah, that's just, this is something I struggle with for sure.
When you're tired, what kind of things, like, how do you know you're exhausted? Do you not do things well? Do you get moody?
I get moody. I think Ace can attest to that. Sorry.
I don't know what
but also about. Like I kind of get overwhelmed, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so then it's to the point where there's so much I need to do and I can't do anything.
I mean, that's where I come in. I'm like, hey, chill, go to sleep or something. I'll take care of everything else.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So yeah. Ace has been really a really good support system for that.
I mean, but I'm like one of the most carefree people ever. I don't even.
Yeah, you don't put that pressure on yourself.
No. What's the point?
I'm the same way. Like, and I get overwhelmed, and then I can't even make this like simple decisions. I can't make simple decisions because there's 10 other decisions that I know I need to make. Yeah. And I just get overwhelmed. And I just know that it's because I only slept 5 hours last night. Or, you know, I've gone 10 days straight, you know, just full days. And so I'm the same way. So I think it's just super important to just, like Ace said, to reset, you know. Every time you rest, you just reset your body.
Yeah.
What?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to reset every day. Every day is multiple a new times day. A day.
Yeah. No, and sometimes I'm thankful
for every breath I take.
Sometimes it does bother me though, cuz Ace is better at resting than I am. And so
because that's how I'm efficient. If I'm relaxed and I'm good, relaxed, ding ding ding, then I know I can be productive. But but then
for me, knowing that, like, let's say it's like I have to, the house needs to be cleaned and I have to cook and do this and do that. And then I see Ace just chilling on the couch. Part of me is like, he's worked a long day. I really need to leave him alone. But part of me is like, why aren't you doing anything?
Yeah, but you also forget there's behind the scenes where you're not home for 2 hours. Let me drop this mic real quick, though.
Yeah, okay.
I got to keep the house, the kids in check and make sure stuff.
All the
kids.
Little regrets.
Somebody had to turn on.
Someone's got
to
get the mail.
Yeah.
Someone's got to turn on the TV.
Someone's got to turn on the TV because it's not going to turn on itself.
It needs to warm up every day.
Somebody needs to eat all the food.
Right? Somebody needs to make sure that all the chips are eaten so we can get more chips to add to our chip collection. Jeez, it's a hard life, you know? It's hard being me, okay, guys?
Yeah, but Ace is really good, though.
I'm really good.
Yeah, he's really good.
I'm really good.
Yeah, your wife said that.
I'm really good. I'm really good at just being okay.
Any other topics?
Yeah, one last one more. Actually, is responsibilities. So how do you share responsibilities?
Well, it's not always easy. I feel like sometimes we we'll tell each other, you know, hey, take care of this, take care of that. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Like household responsibilities or just...
Yeah, household responsibilities and also, I guess, just in general, like... Because you're responsible for each other also, right? Like, so if Freddie needs you, then that's kind of a responsibility.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, so just overall responsibilities.
Yeah, I think it's really important to just communicate responsibilities or, you know, communicate with each other, like, what's important, what things need to get done. Because if you don't, and, I don't know, you're overwhelmed, you know, right. with, like, I don't know. What do you want to add to that?
I think, just with responsibilities, you know, my friend Eden, he was telling me that most people are, when it comes to disappointments, is because of unmet expectations. You know, like he says, 90% of disappointments are always going to be because of unmet expectations.
Yeah.
You expected something and you didn't get it, so you're disappointed. You know, and you expected something from your partner and they didn't deliver, and you're disappointed. You know, and so the best way to not disappoint someone is to communicate effectively what it is that you need.
That's super important.
And sometimes that's where we mess up. I assume that because I said, hey, I have like 6 appointments, I got these clients today, et cetera, that she automatically should pick up the fact that something needs to be turned in today, or something needs to get delivered, or something needs to be done. And you know, and like, and I got all these things to do, and blah, blah, blah. I just say it that way, but I don't give the affirmation or, hey, babe, can you take care of it?
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
That's what I need from him. I need him, which he's been doing so much better, you know, just, we've been communicating about that. And so he'll tell me, like, hey, I need you to do this. And once he tells me that, like, okay, hey, I need to get this done, you know? Mm-hmm. It isn't just like,
Because it's I guess you can take it as him just venting to you all this stuff, right?
Yeah,
and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times that Ramada will say something, and she grew up not having her voice valued, you know, and so she's always had to drop hints, and I don't operate that way. Yeah. I just like clear and direct. Just tell me exactly what you want, exactly what you need. She's getting better at that, you know.
Right.
And but sometimes she'll say stuff like, you know, like, it's hot in here, and so what she means is, can you open the window?
Or I'm thirsty.
Or I'm thirsty.
Even though I can get water myself.
You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm thirsty. Please or serve me.
He's so sweet. He'll always go. Like, sometimes I'll just cough. And I'll go. And then he, like, looks at me. And he'll go get me water. Like, he already
knows. He looks at you with, like.
Nice. Well, some of the hints he'll pick up.
She's resting. Yeah. So, you know, going to go get water is work. So yeah, she's resting.
Not part of rest.
No, she rests right. hard.
Just hire a butler.
So I think that's how we divvy them up, and then in being responsible with one another. I don't know. That's a great question. Like, what do you mean by that?
We have a calendar. We go by calendar. Responsibility. We just kind of, this is what I'm going to do. This is what you're doing. Mm. Put in the calendar so we know exactly what's happening, so we don't double book or do anything stupid at the same time.
But you were asking about responsibilities to each other. Do you guys watch This Is Us?
No.
It's a great show, if you guys want to.
I was going to say, because Freddie is probably more like Milo Ventimiglia.
Yeah.
As how forgiving and...
For a husband.
Yeah.
Because one of the episodes is titled, I Call Marriage. And it's essentially like the wife, one of the wives on the show is having a really hard time. Like, she has a lot to juggle. And her husband's like, well, I really have to be at work today. Like, I have so much. It's a really important presentation. And she goes, I call marriage. And that essentially trumps that other person's plans. Like, so it's like, I call marriage. This is priority. You have to stay with me today. Yeah. Kind of thing, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
We're going to use that because I think when we make decisions. Yeah, our marriage trumps anything else. Our relationship, our time together matters more than anything. Mara, there's been times where we've planned things and people will hit her up and say, hey, I need you, right? I need someone to talk to or something. And let's say we have not really been intentional about going out that week as much. We hang out all the time, but there's some weeks that are just so busy. And she'll let me know. And there was once, I think, Mara, you were on a trip with your girlfriends.
Yeah.
And she was on a trip with her girlfriends. I had just had a major, like, business failure. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I had never had an anxiety attack ever. Mm-hmm. And just to know how much money I was about to lose on this deal was just like, I couldn't breathe. Well, you know, like I didn't know what to do. So I called her, tried to be brave on the phone. Just like, she asked me what's going on. I just said, hey, what time are you going to come home today? She's like, oh, we're not going to come home until tomorrow morning. I was like, oh, okay, no worries. And mm-hmm. I was like, she called me back because she knew something was wrong. She mm-hmm. like went away from her friends. She called me. She said, what's going on? And I said, no, nothing. It's just like this, you know, thing. And then she asked me more questions. And then I just like broke because like mm-hmm. I hadn't cried to the point, you know, until like she called me. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I like suck at this, you know, and I just like felt so bad. It was like my first and like my one of my biggest major investments. Mm-hmm. And I was just about to lose a grip load of money.
Yeah.
You know, and in one deal. Mm-hmm. That went south. And she said, hey, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah. Within 20 minutes, she sends me a text and she says, hey, don't go anywhere tonight. I'm coming home now.
Oh.
And she told her friends, and they had planned this trip for a while.
Yeah.
She told her friends she came home. Not only did she come home just to be with me, but she gave me all the affirmation I needed. She gave me all the affection I needed, mm-hmm. you know? And she gave me so much attention, even beyond what I thought I would need at that moment.
Yeah.
And just to know that, you know, I came first. I didn't ask her to come, you know, but mm-hmm. that's what she did for me.
She prioritized responsibility.
It was insane. Mm-hmm. Like, she was willing to let down her friends
mm-hmm.
for my sanity, you know, or mm-hmm. or whatever.
And that's love right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that, though. I call marriage, you know. I think
we're gonna use that for
sure.
Mm-hmm. You need to just watch that show.
This is us.
The show is great in general, but yeah, that's,
it's so good.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we got from that show, I guess.
I think I'm as handsome as the dude in that show, though. I'm positive.
No, I think you're more handsome.
No, he's really good looking, though.
I'll kiss him on the mouth. I think you're better looking than him.
I don't have long hair yet, and I don't have a beard.
I don't think you'll ever have a beard.
I'm going to have a beard. Okay. I'm going to have special effects. I'm going to become a special effects man.
Yeah.
You can call me the SPFX man. Yeah. Special anyway. FX. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Hey. So those are all the topics that we have for you guys.
Yay. Today.
But before we leave, we do different segments, I guess, with a different couple. So for you guys, it's just a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Just,
so what songs were we talking about earlier that you wanted me to play?
From Israel?
No, we don't do that.
Okay.
Adulterer.
I guess we don't do Israel.
That cancels like half of the.
Sorry. Okay. Good. Good. Ask them the questions.
All right. Yeah. So just three closing questions for our listeners, I guess, to get to know you guys a little better. So, what is your ideal vacation?
Mexico. I know. I never get tired of saying it. Everybody's like, what about, you've already been there. What about Hawaii? What about this? I just love Mexico. I just need Mexico. That's all I need in life.
Wait, if it's for you guys.
We grew up in the city and just the calmness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think just to be able to relax and the fact that obviously we only go to the touristic places.
Uh-huh.
So everyone there, no one gives you like, hey, this is our town. This is our city. This is like, you know, you're not. You know, we're the locals here. No, like, they're happy to show you everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah.
So, Mexico.
So.
Very nice.
Is it pronounced Mexico or Mexico?
Mexico.
Mexico. Guadalajara.
All right. Mexico. Next question.
Chihuahua. Sorry. Okay.
Next question is, you have an unexpectedly free night. What do you do?
We eat. Yeah. We go somewhere. Yeah.
My kind of people right here.
Yeah.
You're my kind of peeps.
Yeah. Maura, so as soon as we say that, she goes on Yelp.
Yeah, we'll find something good to eat.
Do you guys like trying different places?
Yeah, we do.
That's cool.
It's funny how similar a lot of how couples operate. It's like, we're going to go eat. Then someone's already on Yelp. It's like, dude, that's like what everybody does. It's so funny. It's awesome. It's cool.
And the last thing is, what is one thing you crave often?
Ojas.
Oh, that too. I'm just kidding.
Just kidding. Nara's not kidding.
No, ojas. I love ojas.
Is it hojas?
Hojas.
So ojas means tea leaves in Spanish?
It's just leaves, essentially.
Leaves. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. Cool.
Yeah. So
is there a specific drink?
Yes, the Jazzy Jasmine with extra cocoa, no ice.
Jazzy Jazz with the extra Fresh Prince.
Just shake it in ice. Oh my god. What about you, babe?
What do I crave? Yay, you guys know what I crave.
These nuts! What do you crave? Oh, Dirty Birds?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
I crave that all the time. But Dirty it's Birds. Just so dang far just to eat wings.
So good.
Cool, so we've done it.
Let's go. Well, I've done baseball two trips. Season's coming up. We'll go to San Diego for baseball with and Harley. Wings. With the dog.
And Scarlett.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then we'll, That'd be so good. We'll go to Oja's. Hoja's? Hoja's?
We'll go to Oja's and then drive down to San Diego for wings.
Yes.
We'll hit both of the cravings at once.
Jeez.
Yeah,
sounds good.
There you go.
Sounds well, good. Thank you guys for being on our
this
podcast.
This was a fun podcast to be on.
Thank you for having us.
You guys are more
us.
Than welcome to jump on again, season two, whenever you want, because season two is going to just be whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still in the planning process. Yeah. So
we're going to have to hit R again. We didn't hit repentance. We didn't hit resentment.
Right.
There's
no,
like
we'll
a
do
lot
it.
Of
There's
bunch.
There's yeah. a lot of R words.
We'll do it
out
again.
There.
For
yeah,
sure.
For
thank
sure,
you guys.
Yeah. Thank we love you. Thank you for having us.
Love you guys.
Revenge.
Hey, but.
Ooh.
Revenge sex. Bye.
Oh.
I love how you threw that in there.